Hello. Welcome to this week's edition of the Africa Climate Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Sophie Mbogwa. So, last week, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, released a landmark report on the physical science of climate change. So this week, we are taking a break from the solutions to look into that report. What does it mean for Africa and what is the way forward? The Working Group 1 report tells us how far the globe has warmed and how far it is projected to warm under different scenarios. It looks at 1.5 degrees, 2 degrees, 3 and 4 degrees Celsius. Remember, the Paris Agreement aims at keeping the global temperatures below 2 degrees while pursuing efforts to limit it to 1.5 degrees Celsius. Remember, Africa warms at a faster rate than the rest of the world, despite being the continent contributing very least, less than 4% to the global emissions. The Working Group 1 report says there is an observed rise in greenhouse gases concentration because of human influence. The report says that each decade has been reported warmer than the previous, but to what extent has our common home warmed? Here is Dr. Mahmadou Bambasila, an IPCC Working Group 1 lead author and the African Institute for Mathematical Sciences Climate Change Science Research Chair.
Taking it at the global level, every decade have been warmer than the one that preceded it. So the human activity have caused already a global warming between 0.8 and 1.3. So right now, the best estimate is around 1.1 degrees Celsius when we compare it to the pre-industrial level. And this global warming have already caused widespread impacts. And of course, the impacts are being felt in Africa too. So in Africa, what you get, for example, ecological drought, agricultural drought, meteorological drought here and there, and flooding somewhere else, you know. And you have this inter-annual variability and have flood this year, drought the other year. So this kind of thing. So these are the widespread climate instabilities we're having. So we have also sea level rising, not only rising, but also surging at a very accelerating rate. And this is due to ice sheets melting and ocean warming. And you know, Africa is in the center, almost the center of the world. Like you have all this Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean surrounding Africa. And we also have islands, you know, and this sea level rising and surging, it's an existential threat to these island nations and to the coastal cities. So other things is the heat waves. So this is one of the deadliest events, okay, especially in many areas, but also in Africa. So these heat waves will rapidly increase. And what is scariest, actually, that and we have been assessing it, is the compound extreme. So compound extreme means have heat waves happening in a region already experiencing drought, or you are having extreme precipitation in a region already a subject or experiencing windstorms. You're having bushfire in a region already experiencing the heat wave or already experiencing drought. Or you have these cities experiencing erosion and sea level rise, and you're having floodings, pluvial floodings hitting it at the same time. You see, so these are compound extremes. Basically, the report is saying we already know that these are dangerous but rare events. And the report is saying that these events are not going to be rare anymore.
Now, Dr. Joseph Mutemi, an IPCC Working Group 1 lead author and a lecturer at the University of Nairobi, says one of the report's main concerns is the episodic extreme events. Here is Dr. Mutemi.
The concern is the episodic extremes. They can actually be short-lived, but in terms of the impacts and the magnitude of the intensity, it is so severe. And that's why the highlighting of the devastation by tropical cyclones in 2019 in Southern Africa, a good example. The Horn of Africa is known as a dry region, but we get a storm developing over the Arabian Sea. Within a period of probably 24 hours, it causes so much rainfall of course, an area which is very dry, and therefore devastation in terms of flooding and loss of lives, loss of livestock is massive. So the issue is the extremes, the episodic events, rarity becoming widespread, and the unpredictability becomes the issue of concern. So these are now the areas of linking this assessment with the operational meteorological operations and continuous monitoring and that short-term predictability, even actually up to the scale of just minutes and hours, so that the information can be actually available.
Now, the United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs indicates that the world 10 fastest growing cities between 2018 and 2035 will be in Africa. As population rise, demand for space to settle or work will also rise, hence increasing the need for tall buildings. Now, tall buildings normally trap heat in their walls and roofs, and they act as barriers to wind, which generally would help move hot air away from a city. As African cities grow and majority of people migrate into the cities, its cities are at risk of becoming urban heat islands. Bambasela says the report warns that extreme heat will intensify with every degree of warming.
So if you take it at a global level, prior to the influence of human activities, like if you take pre-industrial period, 1850, 1850 to 1900, around that. So we were having these extreme heat events occurring once per 50 years. So now, where we're having 1.1 degrees Celsius, it's exactly 1.07. We're having it five times more likely every 50 years. So if we reach 1.5 degrees Celsius, it will jump to around nine times more likely every 50 years. So that's if we reach 2 degrees Celsius, 14 times more. If we reach 4 degrees Celsius, 39 times more. Yeah, this is at the global level. And then these numbers, if you consider Africa only, so these numbers are amplified. But how extreme it will be depends on us. That's basically what the report is telling us. So basically, this report is telling us every fraction of degree matters, which means for Africa, all this melting of glaciers in East African mountains, right? We're having it currently. All these floodings in our cities, that destructing floodings that we have been facing, all this heat wave you have been experiencing, this drought, like the current one in Madagascar, and the drought, you remember, in Cape Town, 2015, these tropical cyclones that hit Malawi. So the report is telling us all these are going to increase in intensity, and not only in the place it is cited. For example, the tropical cyclones are going to be more intense. Those who make landfalls are going to be more intense, and the landfalls will be from the Horn of Africa to the southern, all this coast to southern Africa, you know?
The Horn of Africa to along the Western Indian Ocean countries, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this drought in Madagascar, we may having it elsewhere, like in West Africa, okay? Like also in East Africa. Floodings, for example, previous floodings, these extreme events, heavy precipitation causing previous floodings are going to be amplified in the future. So which means some of the cities which are growing, or most of the cities, and it is being densely populated. So we'll experience more intense flooding. Well, not more intense flooding, but we'll experience more intense precipitation. So the way it's going to flood depends on the options that the cities are going to take.
The report says by 2050, if the warming trends continues, the global temperatures will have risen to nearly 1.5 degrees. For Africa, in 2019, Tropical Cyclone Idai wiped out Beira City in Mozambique. Over 1.1 million people are currently food insecure due to a 4-year consecutive drought in southern Madagascar. Cape Town, South Africa, has been experiencing record-level water shortages since 2015. Somalia has been experiencing extreme and frequent tropical cyclones, impacting the countries once a year since the 2018 Tropical Cyclone Sagar. And last year, Senegal received more rainfall than it dares in 3 months rainy season in a day, not to mention the Rift Valley lakes in Kenya already swelling by day. Now, this report comes as a stark warning that this event and many more will intensify. What does Africa need to adapt to different events? Here is Bambasela.
But you know, most of the countries, they still have some lack of information, lack of skills. So we actually need to get more means in terms of taking climate actions. So we need more funding. So we also need to have more funding to train the next generation of scientists. We need to have more funding to fund research scientists, because something that is really proud for this report is that some of the African scientists were contributing heavily to this report, and that's excellent. But still, we have some like landslide. We have very limited information on landslide. This is because the studies did not exist. And we have other climate impact drivers. We have very little information. So we give them low confidence because we don't have studies, very few studies on that. So when you go to other regions like America, Europe, Asia, so these informations are there. Africa needs to fund its research scientists to actually work on those things where we don't have information. We need to train the next generation of scientists, but we need them to get involved in this kind of UN reports to speak the African voice. So this is pretty important.
Mutemi says collaborations are also crucial to conduct future research key in filling the existing gaps and understanding future warming trends.
The individual countries by themselves will have a limited capability to monitor purely by their own resources. Actually, very few in Africa, even us here in University of Nairobi, we do not have a supercomputer at all. So in order to be able to run this high resolution and high performance intensive computing applications, which we need, we have to rely on computer resources facilitated through international collaborations. So South Africa gives us a hub. There is a center providing a computing hub. And the new concept of cloud computing, I think, is really a paradigm shift so that we can be able to use not only just our own facilities, because also economic situation does not give us that much priority to have these resources locally available. But also by themselves being available is not the solution. Solution is being able to partnership with those who have the resources and advanced so that we learn from them, we work together, we develop the working modules together, and then while working on our weather, we'll also then be able to give them the necessary data and infrastructure which they need for purposes of getting consistent global and regional signals. So partnership is the way forward.
But this doesn't mean that nothing is being done in the continent regarding climate research and data collection. Here is Bambasile again.
We have the MS4CR program, which means the mathematical science for climate research. We need this kind of program across center of excellence. We have resident researchers, we have training PhD students, training masters, having postdoc doing their research and being mentored by a more experienced research scientist, you know, and reproducing a lot of information. So we need this kind of programs across the different center of excellences. Fund research scientists to do their research on hot topic or topic that we did not have information in the previous report, and to continue doing research to have more accurate information on topic that we already have information, but also training the next generation of climate scientists.
As the nations head to the 26th annual climate conference in Glasgow, UK, this November, it is clear that governments must not only commit to stronger clear emissions reduction targets, but nations must now walk the talk and implement those policies to flatten the warming curve.
So the question is, were we able to adapt? So that's one thing. Not really. So in the best case, even if we were able to adapt, so the report is telling us these events that we have been experiencing right now are going to worsen in the future. So will our adaptation capabilities follow? So this is the big question. The report is called Red for Humanity, but this is called like more red for Africa. But then hopefully with this report and the fact that the way it is written, that every degree matters, the way the government are going to see this information, hopefully it will make government react, like release or have a more ambitious NDCs. Because so far, even at 2 degrees Celsius, the changes are devastating, especially for Africa. You know, hazards have been here. We're already having these heat waves impacting our agriculture and human health. So imagine if you have this additional warming. So the impact will be really devastating.
Next year, 2020, the IPCC will release two reports, one on Working Group 2, which will translate the indications of physical science report directly into impacts on livelihoods, water resources, city planning, agriculture, among others. Now, the second report will be from the Working Group 3, investigating mitigations or actions that can reduce further warming. All these reports are part of the IPCC's sixth assessment report on climate change. Now, the report will be released on time to inform the 2023 global stocktake by the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC. 2023 is when countries are expected to review progress towards the Paris Agreement goals. And that is all we had today. Next week, we resume highlighting environmental solutions. But for now, kindly remember, you can still listen to many other episodes available on Spotify, Google, Apple, every other podcast channel, and our website, www.africaclimateconversations.com. We are also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Kindly follow us there and let us interact. Until next week on Tuesday, kwaheri. My name is Sophie Mbogwa.